We'll go now to the Sydney rally on the 1st of February, recorded as always by Vivian. We thank for her for all her work. You can catch more of her at the Climate Action Show on Monday at 5 p.m. or 5:30. Anyway, we'll hear from Vivian.
There was a huge Palestine Action rally in Sydney on Sunday, February the 1st. It was in Hyde Park, and I'd say there were about 2,000 people there gathered under the trees. The context was the imminent visit of Israel's president, Isaac Herzog. On the night of the terror attack at Bondi, I was in the park with my dog and I saw hundreds of police cars and riot police dashing towards the beach, towards the coast. And then later at home, I heard on the radio about 10 o'clock that night on ABC Radio, President of Israel lecturing our Prime Minister on his weakness. He said that he had permitted 2 years of unrestrained anti-Semitic rage on the streets of Australia. I felt this was foreign interference of the first order. Our Prime Minister has invited Herzog here on the 9th of February. Groups such as Amnesty International and the Australian Centre for International Justice are also angry about this visitor, who has presided over the starvation and collective punishment of Palestinians in Gaza. As you will hear, some are calling for him to be arrested if he comes, but none of this is anti-Semitic. In fact, the Jewish Council of Australia is also calling for his visit to be cancelled. First, you'll hear Mr. Shamik Badra speaking about his family members mourned but unburied beneath the rubble in Gaza.
For more than 2 years, we haven't known where their bodies are.
Then Senator Meryn Faruqi from the Australian Federal Parliament. And joining them together, the two MCs from Palestine Action Group, Amal Nasser and Josh Lees.
We want to point out as well that it's because of that big Invasion Day march that defies the Christmas ban on protests in this state. It's because of that march that we are allowed to march here today. This is the world Christmas has created, the kind of Orwellian, nightmarish world where the criminals accuse us of criminality, where the racists accuse us of racism, where the world's biggest terrorists accuse us of being responsible for terrorism. And as Judith said, and as Amal has said, of course this mass movement has done the exact opposite of what they say. This mass movement has been a bulwark against all forms of racism in society for the past 2.5 years. Where else in society do we have people from all different backgrounds and faiths marching together to condemn racism, to celebrate what should be our joint values as human beings, fighting for the liberation and equality of all of us on this planet, from Sydney to Gaza and everywhere else? And we know, of course, that there are two main causes of anti-Semitism in the world today. The one, of course, is the growth, the despicable growth of the extreme right and the Nazis around the world. And of course, we all remember the Elon Musk Hitler salute that all of our politicians refuse to condemn and refuse to even say that's what it was. And of course, we know about the Nazis on the street who are all backed by the same Murdoch newspapers, you know, who allowed that movement to come into existence, who then have the nerve to call us anti-Semites. So that is the one key pillar of anti-Semitism today, is the far right, is fascist, neo-Nazis, and we are part of the fight against those people. And of course, we salute everyone in Minneapolis and Minnesota standing up against Trump and his fascist ice gang. And the other key cause of anti-Semitism today is, of course, the actions of Israel and people's mistaken, our belief that Israel acts in the name of Jewish people in the world. And of course, that is a mistaken belief. And again, who else in society has done as much as what we all have in the past 2.5 years to say that that is wrong, to say that we do distinguish between the acts of a criminal Israeli state and Jewish people in the world, that we do not blame one for the actions of the other. No one else has done that. And of course, the key people deliberately conflating those things are our government, our media, and our Israel lobby in this country. And as Judith pointed out, now we have a despicable and dangerous situation where they are telling the people of this country that our rights have to be taken away, our rights to free speech, our right to protest, our right to even speak up against the genocide have to be taken away, supposedly in the interest of Jewish safety. This is a disgusting argument, a despicable argument. We are told, literally today, you can either oppose the genocide in Gaza or you can oppose the terrorist attack in Bondi. We are being told that you cannot oppose both. This is an absolutely sick world they are trying to create. And we are the people who reject that. We condemn the despicable actions of Bondi and we condemn the despicable genocide in Gaza. It's not very hard to do. The story is, of course, the ultimate reason why we need to keep fighting, why they won't shut us up, and why it's so obscene that they would tour this war criminal president to come to Australia.
Us. Thank you for standing here today. Thank you for standing for justice in Palestine and Gaza. Your solidarity gives us hope. Let me tell you what those policy did. My father was old. My father was sick. He died without enough medicine, enough food, enough water. Not by accident, but because of deliberate policy. My brother was a physiotherapist. He healed people. His wife was a doctor. She saved lives. Her father was also a doctor. They believe in humanity. They were killed along with their four children. And my brother and his family didn't just die, they disappeared. For more than 2 years, we haven't known where their bodies are. We were told they are still under the rubble. We couldn't bury them. We couldn't say goodbye. We couldn't grieve with dignity. This is not only death, this is erasure. This is what genocide looks like in real life. When families are denied even the dignity of a grave, this is what incitement produces. This is what dehumanization does. And now we are told that the man who defended these policies is welcome in Australia. There should be no red carpet for incitement, no handshakes over mass graves.
And next week our leaders will shake his hands. They will welcome him with open arms when the only thing that they can be doing the second he lands in this country is arresting him and not allowing Israel to continue to act with impunity. Because supposedly, Israel is a...
you today, a loud and proud brown migrant Muslim woman who is unashamedly and unapologetically pro-Palestine and anti-genocide. And no matter what they throw at us, I will never shy away from being who I am. And I will never shy away from standing up and speaking out for justice. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people continue to bear the brunt of violence, discrimination, and racism in these colonial systems. And if we needed any more evidence of how little First Nations lives matter to Labor governments, federal and state, it happened on Invasion Day. In Boorloo, a bomb was thrown into a crowd of First Nations people and their allies. And the silence from the establishment has been deafening. And let me tell you this, the silence is not accidental. It reflects a political culture that has normalized violence against First Nations people and treats it as unworthy of urgency or outrage. For the last 2 years, the Albanese and Minns Labor governments have searched for ways to shut us down, to shut down the anti-genocide, pro-peace movement of people that show solidarity with Palestine. And they do think that they have finally found a way through their reckless, dangerous, and divisive laws, which are an assault on democratic rights and freedoms. With this so-called ceasefire, which we all know is not really ceasefire, as Palestinians are killed every single day. 31 Palestinians were killed just overnight under the so-called ceasefire. But we are now seeing a deliberate plan to insulate and protect the Israeli government from any accountability and any consequences, because they are building the power to implement a Trump-style crackdown on free speech, including attempts to ban phrases and protests against a genocidal state. It is disgraceful, this descent into authoritarianism, with the government deciding what you can say, how you can say it, and when you can say it. But so many of you being here today shows that we will fight this. Will we fight this? And in their most recent move, just this morning, the Albanese government has refused to sign even a statement condemning Israel for demolishing UNRWA's East Jerusalem headquarters. A statement signed by 11 countries, including their allies, Canada, UK, and France. So it seems they have now stopped even pretending that they care. But here's the thing. The Prime Minister does not speak for us. He cannot pull wool over our eyes, no matter how much he tries to defend the visit of Israel's president. Israel has massacred, bombed, and dehumanized Palestinians for decades and is now on a genocidal mission to erase them. So we will not let Herzog's visit go unchallenged. We will not allow hard-won rights to be stripped away quietly and without resistance. Because unlike the Labour government, we take our moral responsibilities seriously. And we take our strength from decades of resistance and resilience of the Palestinian people and the hundreds of years of resistance and resilience of First Nations people right in this country. Sydney Albanese and Chris Minns hear this very clearly and loudly. Pass as many anti-democratic laws as you want with your mates in the Liberal Party. You will not silence us. You may try and criminalize solidarity, but you will not crush us. You will never crush us. We are united on the streets of this country, in the hundreds, in the thousands, in the millions. War criminals are not welcome here. Prime Minister, cancel Herzog's visit. And while you're at it, rip up and reject Trump's invitation to join the farcical imperialist so-called Board of Peace. Rip it up! The Labour government may not want to hold Israel to account, but be sure of one thing. We will hold the Labour government to account. And we will not stop talking about Palestine. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea.